First Lady Laura Bush also attended the dedication of the Pentagon Memorial, and shortly afterwards, she sat down with me in the Red Room at the White House to talk about national service. After 9/11, large numbers of Americans came together to help out, as Mrs. Bush noted, and volunteerism has been an important refrain for the Bush administration. Tomorrow, Laura Bush is scheduled to participate in the Service Nation Summit in New York City. It's a nonpartisan event. It's built around what it calls a bold policy blueprint to expand opportunities for Americans to volunteer. And I asked Mrs. Bush about the goals of that summit.
We hope what will come is that people will realize all the different ways they can serve. And there are so many ways people can serve. A lot of people in the United States serve through their faith congregation. They serve in the United States. They serve abroad. Many, many people volunteer in American public schools. And there's some new ways to volunteer. One is called pro bono volunteers. It's a way for businesses to provide pro bono help to NGOs that might need administrative help or accounting help or to provide it to developing countries.
Richard Stengel, the editor of Time, which is one of the sponsors of the Summit on Service in New York and who wrote a cover story about service for Time last year, proposed, among other things, having a cabinet secretary, national secretary of national service, and tripling the size of, say, AmeriCorps. Does that sound like good ideas to you?
Well, sure. One of the things President Bush started was a commission on service that actually worked. They're the ones who started the pro bono service. But I also think that it doesn't have to be a government-sponsored service. And part of the most successful programs that the president has sponsored are the faith-based and community-based service programs, where government partners with people who are already in the field doing great work, and many times work that governments can't do, for instance, counseling with alcoholics or working with children of prisoners.
You spoke glowingly the other day of a project in Chicago where people work with former gang members to try to prevent violence, and it reminded me of a cynical comment that a colleague of mine made, which was after the convention last week in St. Paul that you attended and that I covered, would somebody who heard the mocking references to community organizers that were made there think that those people are actually serious about encouraging young people to go in and work with gang members in poor Chicago neighborhoods, or is that just something you do when you're going to church?
Well, Ceasefire Chicago, the group that you're talking about, is a program started by a man who happens to be a doctor. He's a public health doctor, and the more he thought about violence in communities, the more he realized that that's a public health problem and that it needs to be addressed just like any other public health disease.
But is he working with people who could qualify as being called community organizers?
I don't know if that's exactly what you would call them. I don't know exactly what that is. But I will say he gives former gang members jobs to try to intervene to prevent young people from ruining the rest of their lives because some reason that they get into a fight and then end up incarcerated.
One of the most interesting dimensions of national service today is that it's not just about young people, but there's a generation, a large generation retiring right now. It's our generation. It's the baby boom generation that's coming out. And people are interested in what folks in their 60s are going to be doing in their spare time.
Well, there are a lot of great programs already started to address this idea of retirement for older people. And I'm actually looking forward to being able to volunteer a lot when I retire. But there's some great ones. Education Service is the name of one that places older Americans in schools working with struggling readers, and they have great results.
Now, apart from looking forward to being able to do some volunteer work in Texas, we're sitting in the Red Room at the White House. This building has been your home.
That's
For going on 8 years right now, and I can't imagine any move out of a house that would be a more dramatic change in one's life than leaving the
leaving the White House. Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. But we'll be back to normal life, which I do look forward to in some ways. Certainly, it'll be hard to leave this beautiful house and all the people that we've come to know and love so much that work here, and you know, work here for every president. A lot of them have worked here for 5 or 6 presidents already.
Normal life. I'm just trying to have a mental checklist of normal life here.
Normal life would
be cooking. You will drive again, for example?
Cooking, shopping, you know, actually going to the grocery store, those sort of things.
There'll be somebody following, taking your picture every
hour
during that time.
I doubt it. I think I'm going to get to have a sort of normal life.
Well, I hope you enjoy. Good luck, and thank you very much for talking
with us. Thanks a lot.
That's First Lady Laura Bush at the White House earlier today. Tomorrow, Mrs. Bush will be participating in the Service Nation Summit in New York City.